That's good. That's good. Fantastic. Well, why don't you grab your Bibles this morning, and we're going to get into God's Word. Why don't you open up to Nehemiah? If you've been here last few weeks since we started in September, we've been into a vision series on vision, and I want to encourage you this morning to follow along, and again, be challenged this morning. Be challenged this morning by the vision that God has for you. And again, it doesn't matter what stage of life you're in. It doesn't matter whether you're younger or you're older. God always has something that he wants to do in and through us. Amen? Amen. So, you know, we're never just called to just kind of sit back and relax and just be, hey, I'm all good now. I've done my part and everything's fine. But God always has something further for us to engage in and to do. And so we want to encourage you in that. We want to encourage you in that this morning. This morning, the sermon is called Building the Vision. Building the Vision. And we've been talking about Nehemiah, as I was mentioning earlier. So you can just put your thumb in that spot in the Bible there and follow along. But let me start with a quick little story. A few weeks back, my oldest daughter, Priya, and I worked on a father-daughter woodworking project on my day off. And we had a chance to, you know, get a bunch of wood together and some plywood and this and that, and then, you know, get the measuring tape out and get the pencil out and start, you know, taking measurements to build a workbench. And it's not exactly like that, but you get the idea, is to build a workbench. So I thought, hey, this would be a fun project for us to do together. And so that's what we did. We built this nice big workbench together for the garage. And it was just a fun day working together with my teenage daughter. And that was really, really fun. You know, we took those measurements, you know, and then there was that smell of, you know, when you're cutting that wood and sawdust is flying around and, you know, it's getting in your eyes and, you know, it's getting all over the place, but, you know, you're making it happen. Then you organize all those pieces that you've cut up and you've got all the pieces. Okay, these are for the legs and this is for this part here and this is for that. You kind of put them in order and kind of write on them, whatever. Make sure you put the right pieces in the right place. And you put it all together. You put it all together. And we had lots of tools that we needed to get the job done. We had the ones we needed to get the job done. And by the end of the day, it was all set up. And I had all the tools that I've had packed away in boxes for the past 3+ years out of the boxes and up on the pegboard. Now, I'm not one of those guys that draws, you know, like take the marker and draw around every single little thing and make sure, you know, no, not quite. But I do like it to fit properly on there. And so it took some time. What do you say? I am? No, come on. Really? Okay, why not? I mean, you could, but I didn't do that. Anyways, not yet. Maybe I'll do that later today. But you know what? Got all those boxes emptied out that had been piled up in the garage full of tools that I just hadn't seen in a number of years. It was kind of like Christmas. It was opening. Oh, hey, look, a wrench. I've needed that wrench many times over the years, and just it was piled underneath all the stuff, and now I've got it, and I have access to it, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to do that and get it all out and cleaned up. You know, and it's just this great feeling of working together to get the job done. And it was just a fun project to do with Priya. Maybe some of you have had that experience. You've worked with your child and did something. You built something. You did some work around and you finished it together. And it's just this great feeling of accomplishment. Well, like I said, we've been talking about vision for the last 2 weeks, and specifically the vision that God gave Nehemiah to go and rebuild the fallen walls and ultimately to help to restore the people and the city of Jerusalem. And a few weeks back, we looked at how Nehemiah chose to follow God when he had heard about the need. And then he saw what needed to be done, and he didn't wait around for someone else to go and do it. He took on that challenge. He believed that it was for him to do, and he was going to do something about it. And you see, we were personally challenged even a few weeks ago to live out a vision from God for our own lives, one that's bigger than ourselves, one that only God can accomplish in and through our lives. You know, we were challenged to do that, you know, because, again, we're not just called to just kind of come and go without applying what God's doing. We take all of these stories, we read all of the different things that God does, and we apply them to our lives today and say, how does this work for us today? What is it that God's challenging us in today? So last week, going back to last week now, we looked at how Nehemiah gained his focus while he was waiting for the opportunity to go and actually do the work by praying and by planning. And he would say, and what would he say? Planning what he was going to say to the king and how he would accomplish the vision for rebuilding the walls. No simple feat. These were not little picket fences that were around the city. These were great, large, thick walls all around the city that needed to be rebuilt. A lot of work that had to be done. And so he was praying and planning and just saying, God, how am I going to do this exactly? What am I going to say to the king? And then we talked about that. We read that together. And we were encouraged to remember that God finishes what he starts. Somebody say amen to that. God finishes what he starts. God finishes what he starts. And we need to trust that God is going to provide a way forward to accomplishing the vision that he's given us at the right time. God will provide a way forward for us to complete and accomplish the vision that he's given us in the right time. And we can be planning and praying as if God is going to answer that prayer and preparing for that. And today, this morning, I'm reminded that without a good plan in place and the right tools, I would have had a really hard time building that workbench. You know, my little pocket knife wasn't going to be enough to cut 2x4s and cut plywood and all that stuff. You need to have the right tools. You need to have a plan in place. Without some kind of a plan, you know, who knows how it's going to turn out, right? I mean, you know, Bob, you build a lot of things. You have plans before you build those things, I'm sure. And scotch tape. Okay, Bob gives me a hard time about using scotch tape. I had to use some scotch tape one day when he was with me at my place. And, you know, it's not like I was using it to hold a fender on the car or anything. Just something to hold, you know, a washer on my motorcycle. That's not, like, attached. Anyways, he's just giving me a really hard time about scotch tape. I mean, he said at least use duct tape. You know, at least use duct tape. It's a little stronger. I mean, I know. You all saying, yeah, of course, dummy, use duct tape. Not scotch tape. That's such a whatever. Anyways, so where was I now that I've totally lost my spot? Right. So you know what? You can't build something without plans. It's really hard to build something without plans. I mean, could you imagine your car you drive if they just built that car without any plans? Yeah, sure. We'll slap this here. We'll put that there. I don't know. I think we kind of did that last time we built the other one. Let's try to do that again today. You know, I don't think you or I would feel very comfortable driving around in that car, would we? Would we? If we knew that the guy that built the car had no plan. He just kind of did it as he felt fit, and depending on how he was feeling that day, if he was tired or not, he tightened everything and maybe didn't use scotch tape, used duct tape or proper things. And, you know, we need to have a plan. We need to have a plan. You know, and sure, I had an idea of what I wanted it to look like in the end, but without the right measurements, without knowing where each piece of wood was going to go, it never would have worked out. And so in the same way, let me bring it back now to Nehemiah. In the same way, maybe, you know, Nehemiah may have been praying and planning, but he couldn't really exactly know what he was going to be dealing with, you know, until he arrived into Jerusalem, right? Because he was a long ways away. He was a long ways away, and, you know, I mean, he may have some recollection or whatever, but he couldn't have known exactly what he was going to be doing when he arrived in Jerusalem, like exactly where every brick was going to, where every piece of the boundaries of the city, the walls, where how that was all going to look. So when he arrived there, he had to do a few things to prepare to tackle that, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So let's open up in the scripture and read what happened, okay? In Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 11 to 18. If you have your Bible, can you follow along in your Bible as well? You're welcome to follow along on the screen, but again, it's always important to know, you know, what does it say in the Bible that you're used to reading? And this is a New Living Translation. For those of you that don't know, you can follow along. Here's what it says in the Word from Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 11 to 18. So I arrived in Jerusalem. This is Nehemiah speaking. So I arrived in Jerusalem. 3 days later, I slipped out during the night, taking only a few others with me. I had not told anyone about the plans God had put in my heart for Jerusalem. We took no pack animals with us except the donkey I was riding. After dark, I went out through the valley gate, past the jackal's well, and over the dung gate to inspect the broken walls and burned gates. Then I went to the fountain gate and to the king's pool. But my donkey couldn't get through the rubble. So, though it was still dark, I went up the Kidron Valley instead, inspecting the wall before I turned back and entered again at the valley gate. The city officials did not know I had been out there or what I was doing, for I had not yet said anything to anyone about my plans. I had not yet spoken to the Jewish leaders, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or anyone else in the administration. But now I said to them, you know very well what trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace. Then I told them about how the gracious hand of God had been on me and about my conversation with the king. They replied at once, "Yes, let's rebuild the wall." So they began the good work. And I think they probably said, "Yes, let's rebuild the wall." You know, they were excited about rebuilding the wall. This morning, I want us to look for a few minutes at the four points that Nehemiah followed in order to allow the vision to take shape after arriving in Jerusalem. Okay? So let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that your word instructs us today. Lord, I ask that you would speak the message that we need to hear today for each and every single person. God, that we would be able to take what we hear, apply it, God, in terms of its message, Lord, and what you have for us, God, that we would be able to take that, apply it into our heart, God, that it wouldn't just be in our mind, but that we would meditate on that and also say, God, how do I put this into practice in my own life? Father, we thank you for vision. We thank you, God, that you give vision to young. You give vision to the old, Lord, and we can walk in what you have for us today. We don't have to be afraid. We can walk forward. We can step out, Lord, and trust that you are preparing the steps for us, even if it's just one step at a time. Because, Lord, you are doing a good work in us. And, Lord, what you begin, you'll finish. And so, Lord, we just trust you this morning. Continue to speak. Continue to speak into our hearts and our minds. Lord, allow us to say, Lord, I give you my life today. I want to sacrifice my life, Lord, for what I want, for what you want. And so, Lord, we just pray, God, have your way. Speak today. Amen. Amen. So number one, point of 4 points. Number one, Nehemiah rested. Nehemiah rested. When he arrived in Jerusalem, he understood why his brother was so distressed. He knew why Hanani was so just distressed about what was going on in Jerusalem. Because he looked around and he looked at the city's shattered walls. He looked at the broken gates and he was overwhelmed. He was overwhelmed. But before he could take a closer look, there was a greater priority. Nehemiah had to rest. He needed to rest. You know, think about this. That trip that he took would have been a long trip. And he knew that before he was going to do what God had called him to do this work, that he needed to rest. He needed to be prepared. He needed to be thinking straight. You know, you could look at many other people in the Bible and you see the same thing. Ezra, who did that same trip years earlier when he arrived in Jerusalem, he rested for 3 days as well. And that's in Ezra. Chapter 8, verse 32. Elijah rested under the juniper tree. Jesus, even in the New Testament, went away with his disciples for rest. For rest. Now, is it because did Jesus go away for rest because he was just overwhelmed by the people and he couldn't handle them? Not necessarily. Jesus could handle them. But he knew that he needed to get away and have some rest, to be alone with the Father, and to come back and continue in that ministry. So why do we mention this? Yeah, rest. Well, okay. You know, it's Sunday. You know, maybe some of you are going to go home and you're going to rest later today. You're going to just chill out. You're going to take a nap on the couch or whatever and just rest. Maybe yesterday was that day for some of you, a day of rest. Or maybe your schedule is, you know, later in the week, you know, on a other day of the week where it's kind of your rest day. And maybe some of you just haven't had a rest in a long time. Hopefully it's not your rest time right now, and you're still awake this morning. You've had some coffee, and I'm talking clearly enough for you this morning, but we all need rest. And I've talked to more than a few people that were just totally exhausted. For whatever reason, they're exhausted, and I find they just have a really hard time thinking clearly. So imagine having a great vision, something to accomplish, and you're exhausted. You can't think straight. You know what? There's a great biblical principle here. Don't try to make major decisions when you're tired. That's a biblical principle. It makes sense, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Don't make major decisions when you're tired. You know, it is so much harder to make good decisions when you're not thinking straight. How many of us have ever done that? Have you ever done that? You just realize, boy, you know, in hindsight, I don't know why I made that decision. Maybe I just kind of made that out of exhaustion instead of taking some time to think about it. You know, this is just a good reminder to us about the importance of taking our day of rest or taking some time for rest in our week. And we, you know, we do live in a busy culture. We live in a culture where it's always something going on. And, you know, it's almost frowned upon to say, yeah, I'm just resting today. I'm not doing anything. Well, that's kind of a waste, isn't it? You could be doing something because we don't really value rest generally in our culture. We pat people on the back for overworking. We pat people on the back for burning out. And well, not for burning out, but getting close as they can to burnout. Right? Man, you're a hard worker. But are you a smart worker? We need our rest. We need our rest. We got to take that time. Sometimes we can find ourselves going from week to week with very little margin for rest. And I promise you that catches up. Can anybody agree with me there? It catches up. It catches up. Nehemiah realized that he needed to be rested before being able to go to the next point. Number two, Nehemiah assessed the need. He assessed the need. He didn't just show up and say, well, I prayed about this, I have a plan, and I'm just going to go for it, without going out and assessing the need. We see this in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 12 to 16. Nehemiah knew that in order to lead this project, he would need a clear picture of what needed to be done. And he'd been praying and he'd been planning, but he needed a clear picture of what needed to be done. He went and he scouted out the damage to the walls one night, as I was reading earlier in the text. With the moonlight showing the piles of broken stone and destroyed gates, Nehemiah took some notes. And Nehemiah discovered at least three things during this assessment. Number one, that it was going to be a big job. It was going to be a big job. You know, the length of the walls was more than a mile long, and the new wall needed to be 3 to 4 feet thick, 15 to 20 feet high. That's a big job when you didn't show up with a crew. It's not like he showed up with, you know, 100 guys with him that were all skilled and knew, you know, they're going to do this and that. He needed to have people there that were going to come alongside and help out, but he knew that this is a really big job. And you know, following a God-sized vision, it's not going to be easy, and it's going to have challenges. But if we're willing to stay committed to see it through, God always provides. God always provides. And maybe there's a vision that you have in your life this morning. There's something that God's been laying on your heart, and you just kind of say, boy, I don't know if I could do that. It seems too big. I want to encourage you this morning, God will provide a way for you forward in that. In his timing, he will provide a way. We have to stay committed to the promise. We have to stay committed to saying, yes, I'm going to keep on that path. I'm going to keep moving forward, even though it seems too big. Second thing that he noticed when he scouted out the area, when he assessed the need, he saw that it was a dangerous job. It was a dangerous job. Nehemiah went at night. Why did he go at night? You think that's a little dangerous going at night, you know? I mean, it's not like there were street lamps out there and all kinds of things where his headlights on the donkey there were going to, you know, light the path for him. I mean, he's out there in the dark. Well, he went at night because there were enemies all around Jerusalem. There were enemies all around, and he said nothing to anyone until the time was right. You see, there was the likelihood that had word got out about the plans to rebuild, you know, early on, that they could have just been attacked by their enemies before they even got the work off the ground. You know, this is true for the vision that God puts in your heart also. It's true. We have to remember that we are engaged in spiritual warfare and that the enemy doesn't want us walking in the plans that God has for us. He doesn't. He doesn't want you or me to do that. In fact, He'll attack us on all sides. We have to be ready for that. We can't pretend this morning that there's no enemy out there, that we just have our plans and we're going to just go ahead and execute those plans. There is the enemy, and that's the enemy is in the spiritual realm. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities of darkness. So friends, be reminded again this morning, when you walk in the vision that God has for you, when we walk in the vision that God has for us as a church, there will be opposition, and that opposition will come from inside and outside, and that's the enemy at work. So it's a dangerous job to rebuild. The third thing that he saw, and he assessed the need, it was going to take teamwork. It was going to take teamwork. It was only by surveying the walls and the gates that Nehemiah could figure out how the work was going to get done as a team. You know, he had to look and say, boy, well, how many people is this going to take to do? And how are we going to do this job? And we're going to need these people and that people, and we're going to need to figure this and that out. And again, this is true of vision, right? When we see what God's leading us in, it's for all of us to be involved in some way. You know, a lot of times there's a vision that you're given, and you actually need to invite other people along in that, even if it's for your own life. So I just encourage you, sometimes we need to have a good team around us that understand the vision and they want to walk in that. And that leads us to the third task, and that's number three, Nehemiah got help from others. Nehemiah got help from others. Nehemiah gathered together a large group of people to help. And it doesn't really say specifically how he did that, but he did. He did that. He went and gathered a group of people together to take a look at how he puts his workforce together. One commentator puts it this way. Number one, he identifies with the workers. Then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in. Nehemiah didn't say, hey, I see the trouble that you're in. He didn't say, I can see something that you can't see. God has revealed to me something that you don't realize. No, he said, you see the trouble we are in. Because Nehemiah, he's passionate. He's involved in the city's welfare. And he feels its need as though he's been there in that ruined city his whole life. He cares about it. Number two, next, he presents spiritual perspectives. He presents spiritual perspectives to the people. They are in trouble. And it's not just because Jerusalem is in ruins. He sees their spiritual disgrace. The sight of those collapsed walls for well over a century has created the impression in the pagan mind that the God of Israel has abandoned his people. That's what it would have looked like to the enemies of God, that God had abandoned his people. And so it was a disgrace. It was something that was just horrible in the sight of the people of God and what it was happening there. And he recognized that there's always a spiritual issue involved. A building project is more than just brick and mortar. It's more than just brick and mortar. Finally, he invites immediate action. He invites immediate action. Everybody knows exactly what's required. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. Like, right away, here's what we can do. Let's do that together. And everyone realizes that the task must begin without further delay. You see, Nehemiah is asking a lot of the people at that time. He's not afraid to ask them to step up to the plate. The sacrifices are going to be huge. And they will have to take time off of work in order to rebuild the walls. Well, that brings up other questions. Well, who at that time, who's going to protect their families? Before people can respond, they need to know that there's someone greater than Nehemiah behind the project. The vision of a church is for the people to carry it out together. And we discover the place where we can use the gifts that God has given us as individuals to see the vision accomplished. You see, each one of us has gifts that God's provided, and we can engage those gifts in seeing the vision move forward. Amen? Are you following me? Okay. Number four, last point. Nehemiah inspired confidence. He inspired confidence. And while rebuilding the walls, you know, it was obviously a very important job. But you got to understand the central theme, the point of that book, the book of Nehemiah, is to see that God is sufficient, that God is all sufficient. And his mind, Nehemiah's mind, is focused on how great God is, and he wants the workers to do the same, to be inspired, to have confidence in the power of God. And for us here at CLA, there's no difference. The vision that God has given us can't be lost without realizing that we serve a God who provides for us. Like I said last week, he makes the impossible possible. The God we serve makes the impossible possible. He provides the miracles that make the vision become a reality. Amen? And the people that are far from God, that live around us here, are going to hear that. They're going to see that, and they're going to draw near to God, because God's at work. So listen to Nehemiah's testimony. This is what he said in the Word. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king had said to me. So he testified, he shared the story of what God had done leading up to him coming to Jerusalem to encourage them, to build confidence in them. By telling the people what God had already done, he was excited. He excited them. He got them excited about what God was going to do. And his appeal was positive, and he focused on the glory and the greatness of God. You see, when you think about it, it's actually really amazing that the people said, let's start rebuilding. Yes, let's rebuild the walls. It's pretty amazing when you think about it. I mean, think about what they could have said. You know, they could have been apathetic. They had been living in the rubble for a long time. It's not like this just happened. And I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this is, the walls have fallen, we're living in ruins, it's something that's just happened. No, this had been the case for a long time. And they could have just stayed there. They could have reminded Nehemiah that the Jews had already tried that. We've already tried that before in Ezra, and they were stopped by the authorities. And you see, we often face those same two obstacles, don't we, within the church. Either we're content with the way things are, or we tried that before and it didn't work. How many of you have been in a church a long time, whether it's here or other churches? You know, we tried that. It didn't work. Or, no, we're fine. Things are fine the way they are. I mean, we wrestle with those things, don't we? Change is not easy. I'm so glad that this church responds like the people that were going to build those walls in those verses. Someone's defined leadership this way as the art of getting people to do what they ought to do because they want to do it. Getting people to do what they ought to do because they want to do it. And as your pastor, I want to do all I can to help us do the things we ought to do because we want to do them. I want to encourage you in that. Because the gracious hand of our God is upon us. God's grace is upon us. So I've encouraged you to discover the vision that God has for your life and to live it out. Now let me share with you the vision that God has for this church and for CLA. As I've been here for a couple, 2.5 years, and we've been engaged in this vision now for almost a year already. And it's been awesome. I mean, look around. You know, look around. There's been major changes just in this space alone. And so God is good. Many of you are involved in Vision 2016. You're already involved in it. When we launched it last November, you engaged in that. You took up the challenge. You prayed. You listened to what God had put on your heart to give specifically to that. And you're already engaged in that. And I want to give you a quick update on where we are at this point, really quickly, before we close today. And for those of you that aren't aware, maybe you're kind of wondering, well, what is this Vision 2016? I saw the little thing outside in the foyer, and I'm not really sure exactly what the details are on that. I want to just make you aware of what it is. And I want to share that with you today and challenge you to join in seeing this vision becoming a reality. Because we believe that if we are to accomplish what God wants to do here, we need to prepare for it, we need to resource it, and we need to pray into it. Okay? That's what we need to do. Last November, we launched a 3-year vision to work towards fulfilling the next steps of what God has for his church here in Gibson's. And I believe this is for the long range, for 10-plus years ahead. This is just the first step because he's not finished with his church yet. He's not finished with his church yet. Anybody agree with me here? He never will be, yeah. Well, until he comes back for the church, you know. But God's not done with his church yet. There are great things yet to be done. Because God is good. We believe God's calling us to focus on three major vision priorities at this point, up to Vision 2016. Let me share those with you. Number one is to rebuild the church property and building, refurbish the church building and property. And I tell you this, honestly, I do thank God for the space that we have to meet in every week. I thank God for the space that we have to do all the different things that we do and for the things that we want to be doing. It's an incredible blessing. It's an incredible blessing. And I hope you thank God as well for this place. I know some of you have put in many, many hours, many, many hours over the years in helping out in all different areas to use this space, to clean the space, to keep it moving forward, and I thank you for that. You know, this is one of the largest church buildings in this community, and maybe even on the Sunshine Coast. We have a great amount of space here, and we thank God for that. You know, there's a really great potential for us moving forward to use it for so much more. And this year, we've already done major changes. Like I said, our gym, our main meeting space, it looks so different. I was with somebody recently. I showed them some pictures of what it used to look like. And they couldn't get their head around it. They said, really? No way. No, I said, here's a picture. This is what it looked like. And it's, wow, that's a really big change. And if you're new, you wouldn't realize the change. But if you've been here a long while, you know it sounds different and looks totally different in here. And that's absolutely fantastic. We felt that was part of something that we were supposed to do. The vision is to see everything from the sign that's out on the street that faces one way to in front of the building, change the front of the building, to changes in the foyer. You've already seen some changes in the foyer. You've seen changes in the gym as well, the kitchen. Everything becoming much more uniform in appearance and atmosphere. Because there's nothing like, you know, going into one part of the building, going to another part, and thinking you went into a different building, you know? And so that's all part of it. We want to help in that area. And this looks like a new sign with a new logo and current church information. This looks like painting and updating the front of the building. It looks, and we are already underway in getting a larger double-sided sign together to replace the one that we currently have. And so the board's been working on that. We're working on that. And we're hoping we can even get that done this year. And so that would be a new sign out front on the road that's double-sided, has a light on it that you can see, you know, at night as well, and some markers for the opening into the driveway as well. You know, if you know anything about the original history and the vision behind when this church was built, the vision behind this main meeting area being a gym was really actually ahead of its time. It was ahead of its time. Most churches being built at the same time this church was built were traditional sanctuaries with pews. And they had the big long pews, they had this big stage, and everything was very permanent in the space. And that's the way most churches were being built at that time. Now, many of those churches and new churches are being converted into more open and useful spaces like we already have. You know? And that's absolutely fantastic. We have lots of options. Yeah, does it require more work? Setting up and tearing down and putting out chairs and wiring and all this? Yes, it does. Is it worth it? I think it is. Absolutely, because we can do so much more in this large space. And so we've been able to use this space for a lot. Badminton, Elves Club, power walking, and many other things. Fencing just started here as well. And so, you know, just some good opportunities for us to integrate and engage with the community, and that's what we want to be doing. That's what we want to be doing. I want to commend you all that have been a part of this church for any length of time, that have helped in setting up and tearing down for all these different years. I want to thank you for all that you've done. I want to thank you for giving of your time, giving of your energy and effort to make that happen, because it doesn't just happen by itself. It'd be nice if you could just push a button and all the chairs disappear and everything flies into the wall. That'd be really cool, but that doesn't work. Not yet, anyways. So we'll see. Maybe we can work something out and figure something out in the future. You know, but the gym would be upgraded in such a way, even into the future, that it's still going to be a fully functional gym. Still going to be a fully functional gym. Our new lighting was installed, but it's not totally completely finished yet. We're waiting on a few more dimmers and a few little things to have better control over the lighting. And the parts of the sound system, we're going to be mounted to the walls. It's going to make it easier and quicker for setting up and tearing down. Less wiring and less work to do there. We want to see this entire church be used for more interaction with the community. And I know I've talked about that over the years. It's really important, and it's key. It's where the church should be, engaged in the community, having the space open so people aren't wondering, I wonder what those people do in there. But instead, they're engaged and they're part of what's happening here. Number two, we want to see that God is leading us to refuel and launch new ministries in the church. We've launched a number of ministries at CLA over the past few years, and we want to launch more. We want to launch more. We need resources to fuel the existing ministries and seed funds for new ministries to be launched in the future. And I believe in equipping those who are stepping in leadership roles into leadership roles in the church. So being able to find training materials to strengthen them in their ability to lead and grow their gifts is really important. It's essential. We really believe that ministering, for example, to marriages and families, ministering marriages and families is an area of great need in our community. And we want to expand our opportunities to put on marriage courses like the Alpha Marriage course that we did a little while back and others to strengthen families and couples. You know, the church has spent too much time being known for what we don't believe in instead of what we do believe in. We've spent way too much time being known for what we don't believe in, what we don't stand for, instead of what we do believe, what we do want to strengthen. And that's what people in this community need to hear. That's why we need to be able to prepare and resource for that future. Number three, planting, ministry planting in the years ahead. And I've found that sometimes we do have a very narrow perspective on church planting. We think that our traditional view of church planting is, well, we're just going to recreate what we do here somewhere else. And that's not what we're talking about. Part of the vision that God's been speaking is that one day in the future, we're going to be involved in planting ministries outside of CLA. And if I can best explain it to you this way, I want you to view church or ministry planting the same as planting a seed in the garden. It's like planting a seed in the garden, okay? God calls us to plant the seed, a New Testament house church, a small group, whatever you want to call it, and God will grow that seed in his timing. And the result will be another group of believers sharing the truth of Jesus in an area of the Sunshine Coast that really needs it. So that's really important. So we're continuing to move forward with Vision 2016. I want to encourage you to be a part of what God wants to do. Okay, and maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, hey, I really don't have any room left to help out with anything else, but I want you to just pray about it. Because that's what we did, and that's what those of us who are a part of it now did. We had to go and pray about it and ask God to say, okay, what can we do? Can we do anything? What can we do? The goal is to raise $125,000 by December 2016. And we're almost a year into this vision, and the pledges and amounts that have been designated towards that, whether it's from a state or whatever, there's a few things that were put into that. We're just over halfway there. And that's pretty phenomenal. But it's kind of stopped there. And we want to raise the rest of that, so we need your help with the rest. I want to thank you for all that contributed towards that vision. And it's been really encouraging to see some of the major steps that we've been able to take forward as a church. It's been really encouraging. And if you haven't had the opportunity yet to make a commitment as part of this church, I want to encourage you to prayerfully consider. I want you to prayerfully consider, what could you give over and above your tithes towards Vision 2016? Some of you have given, you know, besides, you know, having pledged or whatever, you've still been able to do that, and thank you for that. But we want to continue to move forward. I want to remind you of why we're doing what we're doing and what it is that we're doing, and we're trusting that God's going to provide that for you and for the church. At the back table in the foyer, there are commitment cards that are available there, Vision 2016 commitment cards. And if you haven't done so already, I want you to take one of those cards with you when you leave this morning, when you go home, and take one of those cards, and I want you to pray this week, consider what God would challenge you to give personally. Now, asking for money is not something that I just do and feel comfortable and love doing, but it's something that we need to do. We need to make aware what the needs are of the vision, and I'm not going to apologize for that. Because God's laid a vision on our heart to do something, to move forward, and we need to make it clear what the needs are and ask God to provide. And so we just encourage you, take one of those cards, pray what God would put on your heart to give if you haven't already engaged in that, and then do that. And watch what God would do in your life. It's not about how much you're giving. It's not about that. It's actually about just being obedient to give what God challenges you to give. It's always the case. Together, we will see God do miracles, and we're going to see many people come to know Jesus in the years ahead. Can I invite the worship team to come and join me? You see, we're going to take a step of faith, and we are taking steps of faith. And we believe that God is able to provide, as we believe, for the greater things that he has in store for us in the years ahead. He's not done with this church yet. He's not done with you yet, or I. So you got to trust and believe that you're part of this for a reason. And that's going to require engagement. It's going to require being a part of something more. I'm encouraging that. Can we pray together this morning as Dan would just lead us in a closing song? Can we pray this morning that God would allow the vision that he has for you, the vision that he has for CLA, to grow and to be accomplished? Can we pray into that? You know, it's actually going to take all of us working together to show our community and the Sunshine Coast how great our God is. It's going to take all of us together to do that. So I just challenge you this morning. That's what God's called me to do here this morning, is just to challenge you. And it's your call, it's your choice to take up the challenge that God would lay on your heart, to follow the vision that he's laid on your heart, to be a part of the vision that is Vision 2016. Can you stand with me this morning? We're going to pray. If you can stand, stand. Or remain seated. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you this morning that you, God, will finish what you have started. God, we thank you that we can trust you for audacious dreams, Lord, and visions that you put that are way bigger than what we can accomplish on our own. They're way bigger than what we can accomplish on our own.
But God, we can look to you and trust you, and we don't have to be afraid, and we don't have to apologize. We don't have to lower our expectations of what you're going to do. Because God, if you said it, if you spoke it, and we together believe, God, that you are speaking that out, then Lord, we will trust you. We will put our focus there, our attention there. We will plan and pray. We will go when you say go. So God, as we've identified Roberts Creek and an area of Seashelt as well, Lord, as we see our community right around us, we want to be a church that people know what's going on here. That it's not just a private club for people, but instead it's a church that has open doors, that's in opening and is a part of this community's life. Because Jesus, you called us to that. You've called us to dream and to have vision that would be inspired by you, that is well beyond us, but to trust in you to see that accomplished. And when it's accomplished, God is glorified. You are glorified, God. And that's what we want to see. We want to see great things that can only be done when you show up. So, Lord, I pray for each one of us this morning. God, have your way. Come and speak to your people, Lord, today and this week. God, would you give your people rest? Would you give your people rest so that we can be thinking clearly? It's so hard to make good decisions. It's so hard to do what you call us to do when we're really exhausted. So, Father, I pray for each and every single person here. I pray for those that aren't here, that aren't part of this congregation, that just need a rest. Lord, that they would have that rest. God, we pray that you would continue to do miracles in people's lives, that as they put their trust in you, you, God, would provide in ways that are way beyond what they could have ever imagined. Lord, for those that have needs here for healing, those that have needs here, God, for a touch from you, God, I pray that today, this morning, you would do that. God, you would show up as they would lift their hands to you and say, God, I need you. I need you. Come and speak. Come and touch my life. God, that you would do that. And if there'd be anyone here this morning that doesn't know you, Lord, I pray, God, that you would be speaking, that still small voice, speaking, Lord, to the depths of their heart and mind, calling us forward. And Lord, we trust you. We trust you, God. It's not by persuasive words, it's by the power of your Holy Spirit that things are accomplished. So, Father, we trust you and we just give you everything that we are this morning. And again, turn to you as our provider. Have your way, Lord. Amen.